And turn to Proverbs chapter 28. I listened to Jim's teaching last week about renewed mind in light of the family. Right, Jim? Was that how it was?
Yes.
In light of the family. And actually, everything we do is in light of the family of God and what God has called us to. Sometimes we don't think about it because we're thinking about ourselves, which we're really good at. We're really good at thinking about ourselves, and probably we'd do a lot better if we thought about things other than ourselves, like God. And a big part of that is thinking, right? Thinking. We think all the time, hopefully. But sometimes we don't think good things, or we don't think what we should be thinking. Sometimes we just think stupid things, or there's an never-ending stream of thoughts passing through our mushy brains. So we're going to look at some things and see what it says. Where am I? What did I say? 23 is what I meant. 23. And we're going to look at verse 7. It says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." This is talking about a man that's not a godly man necessarily, because in verse 6 it says, "Eat thou not bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so he is." But, you know, we are, to a great degree, what we think. You know, it's our thoughts determine our actions. They determine our believing, to a great degree. Because thoughts get into your heart, and your heart is where believing takes place. We are, in our lives, what we think. You know, if we think we're really good at something, we usually are. If we think we're not good at something, we usually aren't. If we really think about we like doing things, we do it. Whether we're good at them or not, but we think we like them, so we do them, right? Thinking really controls our lives, or, you know, causes us to be what we are. And a lot of times we don't think about what we're thinking about, or we don't control our thinking to think along the terms or along the lines of what God says and what God thinks and what he says we should think. So what we think affects our believing. What we speak and what we do reflect our believing or our thinking. You know, what you speak obviously is what you're thinking for the most part. Sometimes we say, we speak without thinking, but really, it's the first thought that hits our mind, and we blurt it out without thinking, should I say that? Or it would be wiser not to say that, right? We don't think about it long enough is really what we mean. We think it and we say it, and then we realize, wow, I have a big foot. So we do that all the time. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And, you know, the way we think really reflects or really affects our relationship with God and how we walk with God. In chapter 3 of Proverbs, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." What does it mean to trust? It means to rely upon, right? You are relying upon something to be what it purports to be or professes to be. Here it says, trust in the Lord. Well, that's Jehovah, God. Trust in God with all thine heart. Your heart is the center of your mind. It's the depth of your mental life. And it says, with all thine heart, we're to trust in God. Trust God, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Our understanding comes from our thinking and our reasoning, doesn't it?
Yep.
So God's saying, instead of trusting what you think, trust what I say and think. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, how do we decide which path to go down? And that could be literally or figuratively, couldn't it? It could be which turn you make on the road, or which way you go, or what you decide to do with your life, and what career you decide to pursue, and who you decide to be with and spend time with, and what you decide to do with your free time. And that all goes back to thinking, doesn't it? What you're thinking and how you line up your thinking with what you're doing. Here it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he, referring to God, Jehovah, shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear or respect the Lord, and depart from evil. Depart from evil. And, you know, sometimes we just go along with the flow of things, don't we? We get swept up in the river of events. Or, you know, it just, you know, life carries us on, and we sometimes we don't stop and say, wait a minute, where am I going? What am I doing? And that's what we need to do. We need to think, you know, does this line up with what God would have me to do? Does this line up with what God says to do? Does this line up with how I'm supposed to think? Because it all starts with your thinking. You know, what thoughts do you entertain in your mind? And that's where it goes. So be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear or respect the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And again, we read that a couple of weeks ago. And health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And life is in the blood. You know, when you get sick, they check your blood. That's the first thing you do. They check your blood. Because everything shows up in your blood. And blood is manufactured in the marrow, right? And God says, it's health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And that's communicating that it's going to be healthy. You know, he wrote this, I don't know, 3,000 years ago, before they even knew, you know, man knew scientifically where health came from or what was produced where or what or why. They didn't know that. But God knew, and he told them. Okay, let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 26. So, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, chapter 26. Is that right? Yeah, 26, verse 3. It says, and most of you probably know this verse, thou wilt, referring to God, thou refers to God, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He will keep you in perfect peace. And the word perfect is really another form of the word in Hebrew, peace. It's peacefully peaceful. It's like, Genesis where it says, thou shalt surely die. It's dying, thou shalt die. It's just to emphasize the peace, perfect peace or peacefully peaceful. See? And peace, you know, one definition or one way of describing peace is undisturbed believing. Undisturbed believing. You know, you're believing God and it's not disturbed by anything that's going on around you, which is a pretty cool thing. Think about David facing Goliath. He was at peace. You know, he saw the giant and he said, he's just an uncircumcised Philistine. He's just a guy cursing God, and God's going to take him down. He didn't say, I'm going to take him down. He says, God's going to take him down. God's going to deliver me. He was pretty peaceful, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. He trusted in God. He relied upon God. And his mind was stayed on God. How about Daniel in the lion's den? Yeah. He didn't freak out. He didn't get unpeaceful. He just kept his eyes stayed on God. or Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego going into the fiery furnace. You know, God's going to deliver us. If he doesn't deliver us, we'll burn. But we're not going to bow down. We're going to do what we believe to do. We're going to worship God. They had peace. They were focused. They didn't get distracted. They didn't freak out. They had undisturbed believing. Pretty great. Trust in Jehovah. Okay. Then it says in verse 4, trust in the Lord, Jehovah, God, for in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. It's kind of interesting there. It says Lord, L-O-R-D, and that's in capital, so that's Jehovah. So it's, for in Jehovah, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. So again, trust in the Lord. Where does trust begin?
In the heart,
in the mind, right?
In the mind.
Yeah, what you're thinking about, and you're thinking. You have to direct your mind to think, I need to trust God. I need to trust in the Almighty God. If you don't put your mind there, if you don't take care of things where everything starts, then you have a tough time when you're faced with difficulty. Or when you have to trust God, then all of a sudden you're starting from ground zero. And you should already be along the road. See? Trust. And trust starts with your thinking. Thinking what God says. How he continually assures us that he will take care of us. That he will watch over us. That he will bear his arm for us. That he will do for us. Let's go to Isaiah 12. Now, you know, these are all Old Testament. But it's all applicable, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Trust God.
Trust,
I mean,
trust.
Trust is trust. It's just that there are some great verses in the Old Testament concerning trust. In the New Testament, a couple times he uses the word to assure. Chapter 12 of Isaiah, verse 2, it says, behold, God is my salvation. Elohim, God, is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Here, salvation is what? Deliverance. Wholeness. He makes you whole in the situation. Whatever you need to be made whole, he will do it for you. So it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You know, it's easy to get to be afraid, isn't it? You just look at situations sometimes, you say, uh-oh, what am I going to do? But if your mind is trained to think about God, if you're used to and habitually trusting God and take your mind to the promises of God, it's a lot easier to overcome fear or overcome a situation where fear could set in. You see? So, it says, Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
A well is a supply of water that usually continues to give, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's usually a stream or a spring that flows into the well, and you dig a hole and you keep drawing the water up. And it says, therefore, joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. It's not literal, is it? But it's figurative, making the point that God is a well of salvation. He's a supply of salvation. It's kind of neat to think about all the times that God uses the water, fountains and wells and rivers, to describe what he will do for us and what he is to us. Because water is necessary for life, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could go without food for a really long time. 40 days at least, we know, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't go for more than a couple of days without water. If you don't have at least a little bit of water, you will shrivel up like a raisin pretty quick. So you need water. And you know our bodies are what, 90% water?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that? Verse 4, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. God is just great, and we need to think and confess and talk about God in our lives. That's a great thing. Let's go to Psalm 119. The very beginning of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And verse 1 is where we're going to begin, and it starts with the word blessed. And the word blessed is happy or very happy. It says, very happy are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 1. So you want to be happy. Here's a recipe for happiness. Happy are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Does that mean, you know, the law of the Lord to us is basically the New Testament, right? And the things that God tells us, but it's the Word of God. And to walk means how you conduct your life, how you live. So if you live according to God's Word, you'll be very happy. Well, how do you start doing that? It starts with how you think, doesn't it? You have to think to walk according to God's Word. And to think God's Word, you have to know God's Word. Pretty simple. Then verse 2 says, blessed, happy are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Happy. So two things it says to be happy. Walk in the law of the Lord. And then it says keep his word. Keep means to guard, watch over. You know, that kind of thing. And to seek God with your whole heart. Is that hard? Not really. And to do that, again, you have to put it into your thoughts, into your thinking. Let's go to Psalm 9. You know, it's interesting. Say we a lot of times we just think about ourselves, or we think in terms of us outward. But you know what we don't think a lot of times? Everything we do, everything we say, affects somebody else. You know, sometimes they say, you know, they'll talk about things and say, well, that doesn't, you know, it's a victimless crime, or it doesn't affect anybody else. Well, that's a lie, because everything we do affects somebody else. Everything. If you're married, everything you do affects your spouse. Everything you say affects your spouse. You know, it just does. And what you say and what you do starts with your thinking. Everything we say or do to some degree affects the body of Christ. We may not see it, it may not register, but it does, because God says we are members one of another, and we're all members of the same body. And when one's hurting, we're all hurting. And when one rejoices, we all rejoice. We may not even know of it sometimes, but it affects us. Everything we think and do and say has an effect. And it just doesn't affect us. Okay? That's a selfish way of thinking. What we do and what we say affects somebody else, and sometimes a lot of people. But certainly in our most intimate relationships, it affects each other, our children, our friends, our relatives. You know, what we do, what we say affects other people. So if we're going to be happy and blessed, we want to walk with God. We want to walk according to God's word. We want to think good thoughts so that we say and think godly things. How easy is that? Chapter 9, or Psalm 9, verse 7. But the Lord shall endure forever. God never wears out, never becomes obsolete, never grows old, never stops working, is never out of style. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. And you know, I read this and I thought about it, and when it says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, that doesn't just mean that somebody knows the word Jehovah or knows the name of God, but it's that they know him. You know, it's they know him. They're acquainted with God. They know his name, but it's more than just knowing the name. Because lots of people know the names of things or the labels of things, but they don't really know them, right? They're not really knowledgeable of them.
There's no intimate relationship.
Yeah, no real relationship. Here it's talking about having a relationship with God, knowing God. And they that know the name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. You know, he never forsakes his people, his children. What a great thing. That's a great assurance. Let's go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, it says in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here again, it's happy. Happy or very happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In the other psalm that we looked at, it said, happy is he that walketh according to God's word. But here it says, happy is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, in contrast, is the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What does meditate mean?
To
think about it, yeah. Actually, literally, the Hebrew word meditate means to mutter to yourself. You know, speak it to yourself, tell it to yourself. You know, put the word into your brain. Think about what God says, and you're saying it to yourself. That's why it's so important that we're careful about what we say. Because when we say things, if we say negative things, we're reinforcing that negative. When we say positive things, when we say godly things, we're reinforcing those godly things. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll get to the New Testament. See a few things. Now, in chapter 4 begins the practical application of what it teaches us in the first three chapters. In the first three chapters, it tells us all that God did for us, how he blessed us, all that Jesus Christ did, who we are in Christ, what we are, you know, holy and without blame before him in love, blessed with all spiritual blessings, so on and so on and so on and so on. And then it gets to the New Testament, and it talks about us walking for God and living for God, and then it gives us some practical things. And it says in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. What does that mean? We're to grow up. We're to grow up in our thinking. You know, that's where it all begins. We're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, the wind blows this way, so we go that way, and then it blows this way, and we go that way, and then it blows this way, and we go that way. That's what children do, don't they? They change their minds continually. I like this. I don't like this. I want to do this. I don't want to do this. One minute they're obedient little angels, and the next minute they're something else. So they change continually. They don't ever stay steadfast on something. And as you grow older, you are to become more steady, aren't you? Mm-hmm. More in control of what you do and what you think. And that's what God's telling us, not to be children tossed to and fro. We are to be steadfast on what we do and how we think. So no more tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And men here, certainly men, but the world and people of the world and what they promote and what they put out there and tell us. And, you know, and if you ever go and check the self-help books, you know, every 6 months there's a new fad, a new answer. You know, and they keep coming, and there's never an end to them, it doesn't seem like. Or there's a new guy that goes around and gives speeches and, you know, makes millions of dollars and then writes a book on how to be successful in life. They're all doing it, you know. And they just do the same stuff over and over, and they recycle it, and it's a new way of doing it. And it's, they put new nomenclature on it, and they new, you know, new techniques on how to get to this certain point of happiness. Or whatever. Okay, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We are to grow up in him, in Christ, which is the head. Speaking the truth in love. The truth is God's word. And first person that we should speak the truth to is ourselves, you know, so that we think it, put that into our brains and live it. And then we can speak it to others. Let's go to 1 Peter. One of the great truths that we learn, or should learn, 1 Peter chapter 5, is that we are what the Word of God says we are. You know, a lot of times we don't believe that. But we are what the Word of God says we are. So we are righteous. We are sanctified and holy. We are just in the eyes of God. We are pure and without blame. All those things. And then we can do what the Word of God says we can do. God says we can do all kinds of things. And it says that we can minister and help people. It says that we can walk with Him. It says that we can manifest His power in our lives. We can do what God's Word says we can do. And we can be what God's Word says we can be. So we need to learn and know God's Word, think and retain God's Word, and so we can act and speak God's Word. Chapter 5, verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You know, humble yourselves. Remember in Proverbs, it says that we were to trust in the Lord, lean not to our own understanding. Well, that's what it really means, to humble and He shall exalt. Cast all your care upon Him for you. You know, if you're not humble before God, you may say you can, but you really to God. You must realize that He has the answers. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In other words, okay, you cast your care upon God, thinking God's word or being vigilant. You still have to be vigilant because God delivers you today. You don't think that the devil would come after you tomorrow. You know, it's a day by day God. I'm steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. It's pretty great. And let's go to Philippians chapter 4. See, it always starts with your thinking. Your thinking really affects so much of your life. And so, you know, sometimes we're not careful about what we put into our brain. You know, we're just not. And the world is very seductive. And it will seduce us and take us where we really don't want to go with our brains. So we always have to filter everything out with the Word of God. And we have to be careful not only about what we put in our brain, but what we do with our brain. You know, we all have a tendency to want to veg out at times. It's not necessarily a good thing. You need to relax. You know, sometimes you need to give your brain a rest. But you don't want to just become a vegetable. Because if your brain is like a sponge, it will absorb anything that comes its way. Okay, so let's see. Verse 6 of chapter 4 of Philippians, it says, be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. So we're not to be anxious, but we're to go to God with prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. And peace, the peace of God will pass, which passes all understanding, shall keep our minds. You know, we'll have that perfect peace. We stay focused on God. And then it says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, we're to think on positive things. We're to think on what's true. We're to think on what's honest, what's pure, what's just, what's lovely, what's of good report. We're to think on these things. It's great. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, it all starts with our thinking. We have to monitor and learn to control our thinking and keep it on God's word. Because everything we do is... you know, dependent upon what we think. Everything that we hold important in life is dependent on our thinking. And as we think, we speak and do, and as we speak and do, we affect others. Always. You may not think so, but you always do. So we need to really work on our thinking. And you know, it's a never-ending endeavor, because you always can get better at your thinking. Because those little thoughts that are negative, that are not from God, always try to find a way to creep in. They always find a nook or a cranny to rest in your brain. So it's our thinking. I was going to read Joshua chapter 1, but I don't think I will. But, you know, basically the exhortation to Joshua was, be strong and of a good courage, and don't let the word of God depart out of your mouth, meaning don't let it leave your mind. Keep it there. And then God said you will prosper and be very successful in everything you do. And that's good advice for us too. If we keep God's word there and we keep it there and we do it, we're going to have good success. We're going to prosper because God will prosper us. Okay? So amen and amen.